Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm really good.
That is very good to hear. Hey, what are we talking about today?
Oh, so we're talking about pioneers of electronica.
Yeah.
But we're focusing on women. And the reason I wanted to do that is, you know, I've noticed the last couple of years people posting articles about women electronica sporadically. I'm like, oh, and then I realized it was International Women's Day.
So it's just comes up on the day. We'll talk about these people, and then the rest of the year, let's just pretend that doesn't happen.
And so, yeah, I guess I was sort of like, why do we still have to sort of isolate them? Why is that an issue? But it is. I mean, on the one hand, there's a documentary that's just come out called, okay, this is kind of bad, Sisters with Transistors.
Oh, God. I don't know if that's great or terrible.
I know. Oh no, it gets worse. But obviously there is still a feeling in the electronica community of these women being left out. So, I'm not in the community, so I don't know as much as stuff that they know as what's happening, but that they still need to highlight these women and their great contributions to electronica, which is we're talking the 50s and 60s, which is really old, playing with stuff that's not musical instruments that would eventually become synthesizers.
Yeah. So we're talking like tape loops and stuff, is that right?
Pre-synthesizers, oscillators, machines capable of recording, modifying, and reproducing sounds, filters. So,
I'm going to hit this first track because I think it kind of just sets the mood. What are we listening to here, Kirsten?
So, this is Daphne Oram, and she worked for the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. In fact, helped sort of realize it. And she started creating these electronic pieces, 5 years before Moog.
Mm.
Some of you, fair enough, might be saying, is this music? But that's fine. Probably a lot of the musics we play on the show, it's not everybody's cup of tea.
I gotta say, I deeply love all of the women you've brought in this morning.
Oh, so you already know about them and listen to them.
I have a special place in my heart for the Radiophonics Workshop. It just feels like a cool as space. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it's just amazing that they set it up, because I guess it was people that wanted to play with these things because no one was sure what to do with them. Obviously they never envisaged it would become dance floor music, possibly, because classical music was still the dominant. And she was really important. So this is in England, British, when we say BBC. She was trained as a pianist, but preferred working with this stuff. Except she eventually had to quit the BBC because they were worried about the effect on her body that these technologies would have, the radio waves.
Oh, my God.
Her fertility.
Ugh.
And so...
So Daphne Oram pioneered the Oramics technique.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Now, this I'm not sure about, but she would draw on 35-millimeter film with pen and then put it through some other sort of light filter thing that turn into sound. I don't know, mate.
There are some fantastic videos that you can find of Daphne Oram. She's just awesome. She genuinely looks like my grandmother looked at the same age.
Oh yeah, the glasses and
she's got the most fantastic glasses. She's got this brilliant perm, these wonderful 1950s dresses, and she's sitting in her house with her Oramics machine, which she made to listen to this tape, drawing on tape thing she'd sort of invented, basically. And it's just the coolest thing. It's such an amazing video to watch. Go Google it, everybody. Just do it for me. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I hope you're all grooving to this.
Yeah,
dancing around.
Bopping hard in your car. So there was sort of nothing like this when Daphne started doing.
Even now, still the line is it music, is it not? It's organized sound, so it's not spontaneous. Oh, so in this documentary, one of the bylines is, these women create music out of silence, representing how they've been silenced.
They're probably just making music, really, weren't they?
I know. I mean, you know, like anyone else. I did like one article that was saying that, you know, they find a lot of, well, obviously electronic music producers, but other male musicians they interviewed, you know, obviously the ego is a big part of being a musician, but they said with these women it was nerdy pride.
Nerdy pride. Well, I mean...
Nerdy pride, I'm going to get a t-shirt, nerdy pride.
Nerdy pride.
Someone texted in asking, isn't the theme from Doctor Who created by a woman?
Yes.
We're about to talk about her shortly,
good
actually.
Good one. That's a nice segue.
Yeah. Should we hit Daphne next, or do you want to jump into... Oh, no, sorry, we're playing Daphne. Do you want to jump into Pauline?
Oh.
Or Delia.
Yeah, let's do Delia then.
Okay, we'll go straight into Delia. This track was Pulse Persephone, by the way, by Daphne Oram.
Oh, this is cool.
What year is this song from that we're currently listening to?
1972.
Okay.
So if you can sort of picture what else was going on in the charts, you know, post-Woodstock, hippie music. We're going to start with our Zeppelin-y sort of big metal-y stuff.
And here's this.
Yes.
So this is Delia Derbyshire with Evanescence.
And she is the one that did the Doctor Who thing. But so what it was that... another guy composed the tune.
And she created it.
She realized it into this fully fledged orchestral, but not orchestral thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she didn't get writing credit.
It is one of those things that every time I think about it, it makes me so cross. I'm glad that people like know that she created it. But
yeah.
You're just like, the tune, yeah, the Doctor Who tune's like iconic, but actually what makes it iconic is the weirdness of the sound.
Yep.
And that synthesizer
whole,
noise,
the timbre,
pre-synthesizer
you know, yeah.
noise, yeah.
And I mean, the composer guy wanted her to have the credit. It was the BBC. Mm. And so, you know, I guess it shows why we have to keep talking about this and bringing up gender, because it did affect, you know, these women, even though they were great composers, it still was a, you know, affected their work and, you know, their operation.
And she was functioning under the Radiophonics Workshop as well, which was basically set up in the 60s because science fiction was becoming a thing on TV, and the BBC was like, we don't really have the right music for this, we don't really have the right sounds for this. And so all these awesome nerds just were like, well, we'll get together, we'll sit in this literal dark cave at the BBC down a corridor that no one goes down, and we will work out how to make sounds for movies and TV shows
it's
about
so
aliens.
It's so wonderful that they invested in that. I mean, what a cool vision. But yeah, it's funny, like, what does space sound like? Oh, yeah, it sounds like beep, boop. Why?
Beep, boop,
why would it sound like that? I mean, you know, that's just, it could just as well sound like something else, you know,
totally.
Like a cat purring. I don't know. Like, it's just...
It is actually crazy when you start to think that these sort of ideas of, like, how sound is made have kind of shaped a wee bit about how we think about, you know, space futurism and stuff like that. Yeah.
And
we're going back in time now to 67.
Okay.
This is Pauline Olivieros, Alien Bog, speaking of aliens.
Well, yeah, so a lot of these musics originally and still are used for film soundtracks. So that was the big, you know, so it started as a, quote, classical music, and then it was sort of art, produces art. And then... with the Moog, you know, people started adding it to their rock and roll.
Mm.
But film music was a space where they're like, okay, maybe it suits that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a 33-minute long song, so...
And we're going to listen to it all. No.
So buckle in.
So they were also playing with, like, the form of music as well. You know, it was like classical music.
Yeah,
it was made to be these, like, suites, these overtures almost.
So Pauline is a really cool character. She actually started off as an accordionist.
Cool, very cool. Representation for accordionists.
And the other two ladies have been British. Pauline's from Texas. And she invented a concept called deep listening, which is about radical attentiveness. It incorporates martial arts and feminism, everyday engagement with sound. But the hilarious thing she... And it's taught in schools and stuff now.
Yeah, it's still really, a foundational pillar of some bits of sound art and music theory.
But the irony is she first called it that as a joke because she was doing a recording literally underground in a cavern. So she was like, oh, wow, this is deep listening, huh? And then it became a thing.
I think people often think of these, like, you know, early pioneers as being very serious there because they're, you know, creating something new and everything. But, like, they're also making space music. They were having fun, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is fun. Pauline was a real character. You know, brings her accordion to lectures and stuff like that.
I'm going to scrub forward in the 33 minutes so we can get a bit more of the...
Oh, yeah, that's completely different.
It's almost like that thing that people put in their gardens to, like, scare cats away or something. Like, really high pitch.
I feel like I'm at Disneyland on the Space Mountain ride.
Yeah,
actually, nice. I'm wondering... I did come across who recorded that. Now, one reviewer said of this piece, it's a masterpiece of... electronic tone squelch.
Tone squelch.
Ooh, so out of all the electronic tone squelch, this is the masterpiece. So if you want to find the best electronic tone squelch,
this is the one.
Yeah.
This is so cool. Someone's texted in saying, can we have a series one morning? What has space sounded like through the years?
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Through the years. There are so many. I'm just scrubbing ahead again to hear more bleep bloops. I love the bleep loops, just for full disclosure.
Now, so obviously there's still electronic music and there's still documentaries being made about women in the electronic music scene. A lot of that is about sort of dance floor, sort of misogyny in space. But I just wanted to sort of give a shout out to other artists. There's Wendy Carlos, trans woman, big in this 1960s time.
Absolute legend.
And she made Switched on Bach. And I found, for me personally, that was a really good intro because it was Bach tunes that you recognize, but then Yoko Ono is recognized because she did a lot of experimentation with this sort of stuff. Laurie Anderson, Björk, Peaches, MIA.
So this is kind of like, I guess that's when you start to see the genre aspect of it expanding, because you wouldn't really put The Sound of Peaches next to Pauline Olivieros.
It's that experimentation with these particular types of machines,
right?
And I think also, I mean, back to the gender thing, there is a kind of stereotype or norm that men deal with technology, you know, that it's manly, it's harsh, it's clean, it's precise, and women are more emotional or whatever. And so that, I think that underpins possibly a lot of it, because we do see women in plenty of other genres, but maybe ones that are more from the heart.
We've just got the coolest text, which is also giving me the most FOMO ever. Someone said, Pauline's amazing. Audio Foundation brought her to Auckland in 2007 and did a deep listening workshop at St. Paul Street Gallery. It was amazing to hang with her. I don't know what that means, but I think I get
hang.
There we go. To hang with her and introduce her to stuff like Taonga Puoro. That would have been so cool.
Yeah. And then you could have gone in some caves.
If only I wasn't
been deep.
11 in 2007.
Oh my God.
That would have been great.
Been born in 2011.
Hey, thank you very much for bringing us some of these iconic pioneers of electronic music.
Sorry to talk over it. I mean, but you know, you do need 33 minutes.
You do, yeah.
And possibly headphones, or maybe outside, like she was saying before.
Yeah, totally. So much amazing stuff to dive into there. We could talk about it all morning. Thank you very much.
You could.
I could. I'm a big old nerd on this.
Nerdy pride.
That is the catch line for this show. Thank you very much, Kirsten. What will we be talking about next week?
Dude, we're going unplugged.
Unplugged. Okay. See you then.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
And this is a bit